The reading can be found on page 1174 of the Bibles in the seats. It comes from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, starting at verse 11. Page 1174, Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that's done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
No? Yes. Right, I'm live now. Thank you. I love the stuff on collective nouns. I don't know if you know what the collective noun is for a group of clergy. Answers on a postcard, all right? One I did hear was muck heap. Put them in large numbers together and they smell, spread them out and they do a lot of good. Many of you know that I'm a geographer. I still will be a geographer till I die, and Margaret and my family have been driven mad over the years by my obsessive interests in landscapes in particular. And a year or two ago, I can't remember how long it was, we were cycling around the rim of a volcano. And you do this kind of stuff. Somebody has to do this. And that volcano has been in the news in recent months. It's Kilauea in Hawaii. And the extraordinary thing about that volcanic lake at the summit and all the aspects of that is that apart from the actual shell of the volcano, you can see almost the entire configuration of what's called Big Island, one of the major islands in Hawaii. And you get that panoramic view. And many of you have been to other places, I'm sure, where you've enjoyed a panoramic view. And if it's an island, you can sometimes see the whole of the island around you. The book of Ephesians has been described as the Himalayas of the New Testament, Nepal. The viewpoint and the vantage point from that particular chapter, this particular verses, is immense. The way Paul writes his letters is often this way. The first half is about believing. And in chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians, it talks about Jesus, it talks about the blessings we have of being in Christ. It's a term used repeatedly in the book of Ephesians. The second half of Paul's letter is not just about believing, but it's about behaving. And if you look at the latter part of Ephesians, and this is a lectionary series, in fact, unusually in the Anglican lectionary, there's a whole series of readings from the same book in sequential order. Chapters 4 to 6 are about how then shall we live. Famous words of the philosopher Francis Schaeffer, wrote a book called How Then Shall We Live. And central to Paul's argument is that now we are alive in Christ, we've received the Holy Spirit as a seal of our inheritance, we are all included in Christ. And he uses, at the end of chapter 2, three images of what that means. And you look at the verses in at your leisure. A citizen of God's kingdom, firstly. Secondly, a member of God's family or God's household. The Good News Bible translates, that's that verse, that we are members of the family of God. And the third one is a stone in God's building. And there are other images used in the New Testament to describe collectively the church, God's new society, as John Stott calls it. So we're going to think today, just for a moment, briefly, about being a member of the family. Now, one of the things I've done in Sheem over the last 5 or 6 years is take funerals. I may have told you this. 100 funerals. We ain't dying in those numbers at Howell Hill, okay? It's because I work for funeral directors. But we had a lady who came for many years to Midweek Focus. She was collected from her house in Yule. Her name was Esme. And we collected her every week, and Derek is nodding his head, he remembers that. In fact, you probably did the collections, in fact. You remember the story of what happened on one particular day when we got there, and we couldn't raise her, or Derek couldn't raise her. He came back with various discussions, and so on. This lady had not been seen. We contacted a neighbour. Eventually, we did what you have to do in these circumstances and ring the police. The police came, they broke in, and they found that Esme had been dead for 2 days. The follow-up to that was the fact that Esme was married, her husband had died some years ago, her dead husband was the executor of the will, and there were no family, no siblings, as far as we knew, on either side, no children. We eventually tracked down a cousin in Devon, and the ultimate outcome of all this was that in discussions with the coroner and with the environmental health officers in Yule, the agreement was that at some point, when we could get the thing cleared up, we'd have a funeral. And I went on holiday expecting to get a call. When I came back, I contacted them again and discovered we've already done a funeral for her. And there was probably nobody there. And I asked them questions about that. And about twice a year in the borough of Epsom and Yule, a situation like this emerges. Because people die and they have no family, that most precious of things. And so on. It's a difficult story. Because one of the great reasons for belonging at the human level, is to be part of a family. The family provides the most secure anchorage for us in our lives. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Paul says we are members of the household of God, members of the family of God. And here, very quickly now, are four things about being a member of the family. The first thing is the family name. Now, what's in a name? What's in a name? Now, you know what your name means. I know what my name means. Kenneth, my name. It means handsome. Don't laugh, Ron. I can see you at the back there. My middle name is Brian. That means strong. Your name has a significance. Names give us personality, identity, security, and a sense of belonging. Do you remember those days when music, pop music had tunes? Do you remember Paul McCartney? Do you remember Nowhere Man? He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view. Knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like me and you? And it's possible sometimes, you know, for people to be stateless, particularly refugees and migrants, but others too. It's possible to be homeless, but can you imagine what it would be like to be nameless? And the Bible uses the family name Christian, the nickname from Antioch in the book of Acts, to describe us as Christ's people, Christ's followers. And there are two ways into a family, aren't there? Okay, you can be born into a family by birth, hence the New Testament talks about being born again, or born anew, or born from above. And secondly, by adoption, being adopted into a family. And I love the fact that the Bible uses both the new birth and adoption as principles of being involved in a family. Some of you will maybe, or you will have no folk who have been adopted. And what a privilege that could be, as well as the challenge. Somebody said this: God is not a godfather. He's not a godfather in terms of, you know, church rituals and that kind of stuff. And nor is he a grandfather either. The faith of our parents may encourage us and be a role model and be an example for us, but it does not confer grace upon us in the sense that we need to make our own decisions. Now, the analogy of a family does break down, of course, because you never chose your family. You're stuck with them. Okay? But we can choose to be a member of God's family. Changing the metaphor slightly, somebody, one wag, once said this: to live above with the saints we love, that will be peace and glory. To live below with the saints we know, that's another story. So there's a family name. Secondly, there is a family likeness as well. You'll see it on a million photographs, don't you? I love the picture of the story of Emily, who was 5, went to church for the first time. And as she entered the church, there was a flash of thunder, a flash of lightning outside. And Emily said, "Daddy," she says, "God has just taken my picture." Now, I apologize to the Obama family for the picture. And why the dog is there, I've got no idea. The joys of Google Images. But the role of the Holy Spirit, of course, is to reproduce in us the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. That is to be our family likeness. We're not called to be clones, but we are called to be like Jesus. And it's interesting, in this same paragraph in Ephesians 2, Paul switches to the analogy of stones in a building, mixing the metaphors. And buildings of that period were not built of uniform, monochrome bricks like we have today. Stones were irregular, different kinds of materials and so on. And there was something about them, every one of them was different, and yet there was a common likeness too. There is no evidence, incidentally, in the New Testament that we are called to go it alone. I think I may have told you the story of the lady in Albury who said to me, "Ken," she said, "I do believe," she said, "I'm a believer, but I don't go to church. I say my prayers on the heath." Well, let's not go down that route now, we don't have time. But obviously the principle is that we don't privatize our faith. We are part of a family, part of the household of God. So there's the family name, the family likeness. Thirdly, there's the family home. There's the family home. There is no place like home, is there? With it comes belonging and security. And I'm very glad that I have 3 homes. I have 3 homes. Now, you know the situation of people who have multiple houses. We've got 3 homes. I hope you have. You've got an earthly home. You've got a spiritual home. Here at St. Mary's. For me, for better or worse, it's down the other place. You have a heavenly home. In my Father's house are many rooms. Home is a place where we can be ourselves. And I love the way in which so many churches I go to now bend over backwards to help people to belong, to have a sense of welcome. And there, of course, along in the family home, there are family meals, like the Lord's Supper that we'll do later on. And there are gaps when family members are not present. And the Bible says quite clearly, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The alternative to that is spiritual homelessness. And I've met some orphan Christians drifting from church to church without those connections that are so valuable and so life-giving and so important. So the family name, the family likeness, the family home, and you've guessed the last one, I guess, by now, have you? The family business. The family business. Jesus, at the age of 12, talked about, I must be about my Father's business. And the aspects of that business are worship, of course, and witness and service. But any full-blown and intact Christian fellowship and Christian family should demonstrate worship, witness, and work. The Duke of Edinburgh talks about the royal family as the firm. Am I right? I think that's what he says. He talks about the firm. I married into a very important family in Cheam. Some of you know who that family is. Okay, and I used to joke with Margaret saying, I married into the firm. The Khan firm in that particular case. Okay, rather like Tom Cruise and the firm. We belong, more seriously, we belong to a royal family. We belong to the firm. So there we are, very simple points this morning. So an adoptive member of God's family, we're called upon to inherit the family name, imitate the family likeness, inhabit the family home, and be involved in the family business. And may God give us today that kind of perspective. When we groan about church, we groan about the way things are, we worry about the future, we wish we could move on somewhere else, because the problems when we do that travel with us so often. We wish all these things, but you and I are committed to be part of God's family. As I said, what John Stott described as God's new society. You see, in the words that's immortalized at Anfield, and in the Great Commission of Jesus, I'm with you always to the close of the age. In other words, you'll never walk alone. Let's pray.